There's not a scripture except the whole Bible that tells you how to have godliness. So to be like God is going to be that we are now to have a God consciousness. Everybody get that? We have to have a God consciousness. When we did the things of the world, we didn't have a God consciousness. Now, God might have been dwelling with us, but we overrode that and did our own consciousness. We drank, we smoked, we run around, we did all the things of the world because we had no God consciousness. Now, God maybe was dealing and he was guiding you through life, especially, you know, if you're born again now, you know for one thing that God was looking for you, looking after you when you were born as a baby, all right? Actually preserved you before the foundation of the world. You just didn't know it. It's what we were talking about last night in the Bible study. The condescending of God is not so that God can understand himself better. It's so that we can understand God. He knows who he is. And he also knows who we are. And like I was saying, you say, well, sometimes this is hard or that's hard. But listen, if there was a better way to understand God, we would be in that way. There would be an understanding that we would... You know, if God said, well, the easiest way is for all of us to like the color blue, well, then we would all like the color blue. I'm just making for an example. But he didn't. He made it to where we can understand God. As he condescends toward man, we're able to ascend toward him. And you can't understand a supernatural God with natural thoughts. It's not natural temperance, it's not natural knowledge, it's not natural patience. Some people have part of these virtues and don't have the new birth. They're just as sinful as sinner can be. All right? So you can't just say, well, that person's patient. Boy, they must be a Christian. No, they ain't got one thing to do with it. We got to become a Christian first. Then when we see patience take over, it's like we were talking about last night. And like I said Wednesday night, and I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings, but how are you going to overcome sitting at home? You cannot overcome sitting at home. And the Bible says to the overcomer will I give these things. You got to have something to overcome. If this was just so easy and we could come to church when we wanted to and we can study when we want to and we can do what, then God is a granddaddy. Just lets us get by with everything. But he's not. He's a father. He said, look, this is the formula you got to go by. And if you don't like it, you must not be one of mine. Backslid or lost, one of the two. We got to come down to where. You see that? It's honing. People down here, you see faith. It's big, wide. It's something that you have to establish. Everything you have on faith. Right? Everything you have has to be established on faith. Well, now, virtue is a little more narrow, knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness. And Sister Johnny and I were talking briefly about brotherly kindness. That's going to be the worst one for us. For us, it's going to be the worst one. Because that means you got to love that guy that done something to you, and you got to love him as much as you love yourself. That's going to be tough. And you got to really mean it, not just say, oh, well, I forgive him. Or you know, you always hear this one, and it's okay to say, well, you were forgiven before you asked. But still, you got to ask. You understand what I'm saying? You said, I asked a man yesterday, we were swapping some bee equipment and stuff, and he gave me a hive, and I told him I apologized for something, you know, if it wasn't right what we swapped out. He said, oh, you was forgiven before you got here. And that's okay. But you can't just use as a cop-out and then say, well, I'm going to be forgiven anyway, so what? No. No, you got to ask forgiveness. It's a confession of the mouth. It's like Sister Johnny and I were talking. Really? God don't care what you put in. Think about that. God don't care what you put in. He never has said that. He said what proceedeth out of the mouth. Right? In the scripture, what proceedeth out. He said, it's not what it goes out in a draught and all that. He said, what's proceeding from your mouth. Of course, it's going to proceed from what's inside and what you feed it. But God wants us to display it. Not just, what would it be if we just had it all and then went into a cave and lived a hermit life? That's not what God wants. He wants us to display it. That's what this statue of a perfect man is. It's God on display to the people. The only God they're ever going to see is when we live that statue of a perfect man. So really, it's not. It's not, because you can take in, what about the guy that can quote the whole Bible? He may not even be born again. And if he's not born again, he sure ain't got none of the virtues. So it's not what you take in. You see what I'm saying? I mean, some of you look a little puzzled, but you can memorize the message. You can memorize every quote. But unless it comes out in your own revelation, and it can't be contrary to what goes in either. It's got to be the same. But like I said last night, does it have to be every single A quote B, like that quote right there? Do we have to read it every? No. We read quotes and then we expound on it. And it's not that we fill in the blanks. I've heard people say you fill in the blanks. No, you don't fill in the blanks. Brother Ram didn't leave any blanks. We read between the lines. We know what he was saying, and we're expounding on that. That's right. Your body change will not come from one preacher speaking and your body changed. That's not that way anymore. Brother Bram said it's an individual affair with God. It's what comes from the inside. Now, what you got on the inside is going to change you one way or the other. But your change started at your new birth because it was an inward work. We all maybe look the same, but we begin, as we were talking about last night, and maybe you don't understand this, so let me explain it to you. There's casting out of devils. And then there's that devil that resides in your soul, that nature that you're given at birth. To me, that's two different, it's not two different devils, but it's two different manifestations. Because somebody can have a lying spirit on them, or let's say that one that Brother Branham did about the woman. That she was in the insane asylum and they went to all the places and she couldn't find rest. And Brother Branham, by the discernment of the Holy Spirit, brought something out in her life that she had done 20 years ago. And that was so deep down inside of her. Well, see, that was a devil on her. It was a demon. Well, see, he cast that thing off of her and then she went on to confess and live a normal life. Christian, he said. Christian. Okay, so that was a demon that could be cast out just like that. But now in this walk of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was thinking about it last night when we were talking about that. It says the unclean spirit goes out of a man. It didn't say the unclean spirit is cast out of the man. Now we know it's being cast out by the Word, but it can be doing it in stages, gradually. Everybody understand that? Because your walk in sanctification is I got either, if I'm smoking, then I can either do like God did me, and he just said, that's it. You don't have to worry about it no more. And the next day, I didn't want any more of the tobacco. But some people can kind of go through sanctification, and that unclean spirit can go out in stages. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is the new birth is different than being possessed by a demon. You can be possessed by a demon and have a demon of whatever you want to call it. And that can be cast out. By prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. That can be cast out. Yes. That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's right. Because she held it inside of her. Right. That's right. So what I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying though, casting out of devils is something that could be instantaneous. You can have that thing cast off of you and, you know, in an instant. But now in the walk of a Christian life, it could take a year. It could take 6 months. That's why I said don't worry about it. But I'd worry about it if it was 5 years. But I don't know where your mark is. But, you know, my mark, I guess I want it instantaneous. I want it instantly gone. But God has to work on that. And then, like somebody, I think it was Susan or somebody, said you look back and go, Well, I don't do that no more. And Sister Johnny said, some of the things that used to bother me, she said, wasn't it just like it bothered me and then it was gone? It was like you go through a process and then one day God will have somebody cut you off on the road or something. And that old thing won't rise up anymore. And you go, it's gone. Well, see, it went out of the person. It left because of the word that you took in. The more words you pack in, he's got to leave because that devil, I don't care what you want to call him, he hates the word. He hates the truth of the word. He hates the truth of the word. He doesn't mind the word because it's what you take in. But when you put it out and God comes into you, it's like I was saying Wednesday night, and I love those quotes on my guide is, you do these things, and then it's the guide's responsibility to take you the rest of the way. It's like me and Donnie, we had to get to Texas to meet the guide, and then the guide did his job. You know, so we had something that we had to do. We had to walk through justification, sanctification, into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then that guide began to lead us and guide us into all truth. Sure, he was leading us and guiding us into all truth when we said, God, forgive my soul. But you weren't fully in the body. You weren't fully up to where you can grow up in a stature. Not a statue. It's a stature. It's height development, growth development. But that's what we're trying to get over Wednesday night is, we preach in this church a journey. Most people just preach that it's just believing the prophet's message. And I've heard them out of their own mouth. Well, it's believing the message of the hour. Well, you know, the devil believes part of it, at least some. He had to see the manifestation of it. And I hope he sees the manifestation of it now. It's what makes him mad. Okay, so he's right here. It's the two spirits in the framework of the church. Message church. Not out there. In here. And what's going to discern? That guide. That guide's going to discern which way we go. But now we can override that, remember? Like I said, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We cannot go up the statue of perfect man as far as we allow that to work. Hey, listen. When God said ye are gods, he meant it. And Brother Brown said, you're a little God. It doesn't matter if you're, he said, you're born a son of God, whether you're born again or not. Because you come from and had the characteristics of God. That's what you do. But over time, that nature that you're born under, it erodes and it covers. And like Brother Brown said, it blackens that soul. It blackens all that out. And you're a devil. I mean, you're letting the devil take over. Then the Holy Ghost comes in with fire, burns that old nature out and puts his nature in. Now that's at the new birth. But now at sanctification and all that, they go out, the little things that we do go out at different times. And remember, even when you're born again, you're still going to have trouble. But like I said before, if you go to church less now than you did when you first got born again, or thought that you got born again, maybe you didn't get born again. That's what the Bible says. And much more as the day approaches. And then we get, you know, you look around and you see people not here, so you wonder what's leading and guiding them. Let me tell you something, the devil's real. And he's right here. He ain't somewhere else. If he can defeat us, he's got it whooped. But all those promises that we read there in Psalms, how God was going to restore. Well, he's going to restore. He's going to restore a bride. He promised he would. So somebody's going to do it. And we have to decide whether we're in that camp or not. All right? I ain't talking about a man's camp either. Let's read 2 Peter and speak just a minute. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained. They went out and got it. Kingdom of God is taken by force. You got to remember that. This thing's got to be taken by force. You know, Bob did a wonderful job with that. Obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, that's what we're talking about now, and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, in other words, besides your new birth, you know what he's saying? Because that's talking about your new birth from verse 1 through 4. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that gives you that God consciousness. It gives you that, because remember, let me state this, I guess lightly. There's only a few people have ever reached right there at brotherly kindness. Only a few people in this world. From the day of Pentecost till now, there's only been a few. I'm talking about a few people have attained to that brotherly kindness. Right there where it says, because that's the faith of the fathers. Right? Now, the 120 in the upper room had it, but the 3,000 downstairs didn't. I don't know how many of them grew into it, but it couldn't have been many. Because after that happened, it started eroding back down the other way. Right? So it didn't go up. It went back down. The first three ages were okay, but after that, after the dogmas and all from Nicaea and all that took over, it started eroding the Word of God, and nobody even reached, hardly, you know, look at Columba's age. Brother Brown said all they had was a confession that they were Jesus Christ, that they believed in Jesus Christ, and they were saved, and they were killed. That's all. They didn't have virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. They just got in the body. They just got in the body. Squeezed in, and then they were killed. So they didn't have that manifestation of all the Word. Then you look at Martin Luther. It's like I was telling sister over here, Martin Luther had one little slot, and that was the just shall live by faith. And it wasn't that God didn't care that he didn't go up the statue of a perfect man. He started building, again, I will restore, with that the just shall live by faith. Right there, foundation. Then Wesley come through, and he didn't get the full word. He got part word, so he could part talk about virtue. Part talk about knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. Okay? Part of it. But still, he was a Trinitarian. Still, he baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So he wasn't all the total of the positive. Right? All right? So there's Wesley. Then the Pentecostals come along, and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Brown said they cabbaged down on that, so they stayed down here. If they had had some Holy Ghost knowledge, they wouldn't have cabbaged down on it. Sure, they had a little piece of it. Everybody gets a little bit of it at the new birth. You get a little piece of all this. Because you know what? You better act like that even when you're born again. Try to act godly anyway. You know, I mean, you got God in you, so you must have to have some kind of characteristic of God. Right? So don't just say, well, I'm born again, now I need godliness. Well, you're born again with a little bit of godliness, but that's the fullness of godliness. That's when you act, then that's when you're, like I said, your whole, and listen, don't get me wrong, it's not our whole being. We still have to work, we still have to live, we still have problems at home, children, parents, grandparents, I mean, you still got all that to deal with. But godliness is a God consciousness of, I used to raise up and do that, now I don't anymore. I used to me, it's like I told you before, godliness looks down through patience, temperance, knowledge, back down to your new birth. See, godliness looks right down through here. And check, to me, it checks you up. Because, see, this is going to check you up on every bit of them. Because remember, you don't just get virtue and then put the book over here, a virtue. You don't just put the book over there and say, well, I'm done. No, you don't graduate from virtue grade to knowledge grade. You know, you don't get a diploma. You get your diploma right here. When you get a body change, God robes you in that, whatever they call that thing that you wear with the hickey on your head. You know, your graduation robe. But that's up here. That's not down here. Sure, you're birthed into the body, but God wants somebody to manifest him. And he's been looking for it all down through time. Since he gave the new birth to that 120 in the upper room, which were birthed right here, they had all this. Look at Peter and Paul, like I was saying Wednesday night. Look at Peter and Paul, a little confrontation. Well, you know what? Peter could have had no brotherly kindness, and he had said, well, bless God, Paul ain't my pastor. Yeah, that's easy for people to say now. Yeah, well, he ain't my pastor. I ain't got to listen to him. But Peter, I'm sure Peter said, Paul, you're right. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Probably asked his whole congregation, said, forgive me. Sure, it's not written there, but you know what? They went on. They were brothers. They had brotherly kindness. They didn't separate. Right. He had to put all this back together. No. Yeah. And how to get a different new birth. Right. Right. That's right. Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it was God restoring the word, but he was showing it through a man that could live it. A man that could live it. And he restored it, and there it was. So we could look at our example and watch this. There wasn't many people that made it to here, very small amount, right? Why is that not supported by iPads? What's it said on here? Bless his heart. But there's not many people that made it here. Now look, there's only a couple people made it to here. Yes. Jesus Christ and Brother Branham. Amen. that we know that did in the past. Now we've got people now that is coming to this because that's required. That's a requirement for the headstone to be put over and cap the people off. So we know that that's very narrow and there's only a small amount of people. But you know what? You can say, well, it can't be me. Well, then it won't. Then it won't be you. If you say, well, I can't do it, then you won't. What's Brother Dale going to start preaching on? Positive attitude. And this ain't a feel-good. I hope he gets into this. Is not, what is that, Christian Science, where, you know, good thoughts mean good things and bad thoughts mean bad things. No, it's not one of them. But Brother Bram said a positive mental attitude toward the Word of God will bring that to pass. A positive mental attitude toward the Word. Now, if we don't live the Word, does he have to do that? No, he doesn't. But if we live the Word the best we can, he will come to those promises and he will give them to us. Let me read this in 1 Timothy. Right. Which was not just hair and dress. And honestly, all that should went out right down here before faith comes. Because if Brother Brown said you can't get a Holy Ghost-filled woman to put on a pair of pants or cut her hair, then that's down here. That ain't even, we ain't even talking about that up here. Way past that. That's what I said Wednesday night. We've been wasting time on do's and don'ts. Get them to this right here, and all them do. Because see, sanctification's right down here. Right? Sanctification is down here. Before you even get that, when you get that right there, that's the faith of God. That's not your faith. That's the faith of Almighty God. And you won't do those things. So, what are we into now? Everybody's preaching, well, we got to be up here, up here, up here, up here. That's okay. But how you get there? First, you got to start down here. Because you can't preach. You don't need to preach hair and dress anywhere in here. You're wasting time. And I know there's people comes in that you got to preach it to. But still, there's a time when you got to say, okay, if you're still cutting your hair, you're lost. Come to the altar. Get born again. Don't sit in the church and say amen and hallelujah and all that. Just forget it. But right here is taking that man, Christ Jesus, and making him live in you. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So it's a mystery. Why is it a mystery? Because you're living it and the world don't know it. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Then 1 Timothy 4:6 says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, which is a God consciousness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. All things. Having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So in other words, he's not just going to... See, that's the problem with a lot of people, even in the message. Well, when we get over there, or when Brother Branham comes, or when the Holy Ghost finally comes, we're going to get to be living right. Right here in the Bible says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and that of which is to come. So it's the promise of now, and that which is to come. See, to me, it's just a cop-out for people to say, well, when Brother Branham comes back. To me, that's lazy people. That's lazy people. That says, Brother Branham's going to come back, and he's going to tell me all these things, and he's going to give me... He ain't Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he said, was here. So Brother Branham must have took him with him. And we don't got nothing. No, I don't believe that. I believe the only way Brother Branham's going to get out of the grave is because we believe all what he preaches and get a revelation. Now listen to what Timothy, or what Paul summed this up in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. He sums it up. I mean, Paul's pretty, you know, you think I'm blunt, but you ought to read Paul sometime. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. So whatever he said above that, which was what I just told you, you need to accept it. And it's faithful because it happens now and it happened then. All right? Same way with here. But now look, 2 Timothy 3:5 brings it over, saying, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So there's people that's going to be so close to godliness, but deny the power thereof. Like Brother Dale's talking about the, you know, people that are, that's going to have great manifestations. You hear that Jeff Jenkins, and actually they took it off. You see they took number one off? Number one, he was like, boy, this brother over in South America, South Africa, he eclipses Brother Branham in signs and wonders. Well, that's the biggest lie that ever was told on the face of this earth. There's nobody eclipsed Brother Branham in signs and wonders except Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham said he had more than Jesus Christ had. So forget that baloney. So whoever the man is over there, if he ain't born again, it's just signs and wonders. I'm sorry. But they took that first video off. You saw that, didn't you? I still got it because Joe sent me that link, so I'll keep it on my link. But you see, a man that's untaught and unskillful, that what first thing they do? They get defensive. They start fighting things. And that's what he's doing. That's what that man's doing. He's fighting stuff. He's fighting things. He's heard all the junk in the message. And you know, thank God we still preach justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we preach a furtherment of the Holy Ghost. After you get it, we preach that the guide's going to take you on through. And we got to go up the statue of a perfect man. It's not just something that Brother Branham wasted, you know, a sermon on tape. No, it's a requirement. It's something where we're, you know what? It's something that no other age has been able to do except this age. Jesus did it in his time because he was Almighty God. He was the headstone. So he was the first fruit. See, everybody says Brother Branham was the first fruit. No, Jesus was the first fruit. He was the first one to come. Brother Branham was the next one to come, and we have to follow his message, which is the message of the headstone. It's not a message of William Branham over here and Jesus Christ over here. It's Jesus Christ, head of all things. And then Brother Branham's here, he got drawn up into it, opening of the seals and all those things, and bringing the message so that we could come up. Because remember, the sheaf wave was the first one to come to maturity, the first head that come out in that whole field. The priest walked through that whole field every day, and the first sheaf that popped open, he would gather a bundle of it, and he would wave it over the field. Well, that field wasn't mature yet. It was just those ones that he had in his hand. So you got Jesus Christ, Brother Branham being an example for us. And yeah, that was waved over us because we were all little bitty plants that were trying to come to maturity. So there's a way, if you say, well, a man with a seventh grade education, if he can attain to it, then so can we. Because a seventh grade education doesn't matter to me whether he was educated with a PhD or if he had a third grade education. Peter done pretty good and couldn't even write his name. Right. Well, those actually, that's your building. That's what you're going to live in the future home right there. That's your building. It's the stature of a perfect man. That's the building that you're going to live on. So, I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. That you're building your future home right now. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place, but I'll come unto you. Well, what did he do? He brought the building on the day of Pentecost. He started with the faith on the bottom of the pyramid, birthed 120 through that statue of a perfect man. Then he continued on with you and I. So, all right, let's go.
I can see why the perfect word had to go down early in the church.
Sure.
Because it had to be a perfect seal.
Sure. See, they didn't have all the word either.
The perfect harness.
Right. The seals weren't open. The things that Brother Branham opened up to us, Paul didn't have. See, I've heard preachers in the message preach that Paul had more or as much as Brother Branham. There's no way that can happen. If not, he was the last church age messenger. You know? We didn't need Brother Branham to have.
But you would think when something